The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
In the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. TGIF.
Yes, it is.
And happy Furbulous Friday, everyone. Brought to you by Castor and Pollux, which is a company that I've used for many years, and they are our official pet sponsor at One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is America's number one organic pet food, so check it out. You can get it, you can order it directly, or you can from CastorPollux.com or Sprouts is where I get mine. Sometimes Whole Foods, you can find it just about anywhere. It's a great dog food company, and they bring this programming to you. So thank you so much to Castor and Pollux, right?
Yes.
So what are you doing this weekend, Junior? It's Valentine's Day weekend. It's our Valentine's Day show.
Yeah, so I actually just found out that I'm going to have this have Saturday night off. The club that I usually DJ at is not gonna they're not gonna open because the weather's supposed to be pretty bad. So
So
I got Saturday off, so my wife and I are gonna actually get to spend some time together. We're gonna watch a movie and hang out, and then Sunday we're just gonna hang with the kids and just have a family day.
Nice. Where are the kids going Saturday night?
Their rooms.
There you go. I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Valentine's Day is it's very sweet. I have really fond memories of Valentine's Day when I was a kid. Oh, Butters just entered the studio. He's our official cat here.
Don't push anything, Butters.
Don't jump on the equipment like he did last. That was actually Dean.
Oh, Butters, yeah, that's right. That's it. Right.
But Dean, the dance machine. But
I apologize to Butters.
Yeah, he said it's okay. It's okay. But he's feeling so much better. I almost lost him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He really thought he was not going to make it. But he and Marie are both doing well. And Susie.
Good.
All three of my pets that hit me in the wallet are all doing well, I'm happy to say. But you know, Valentine's Day, Palentine's, Galentine's. I think today... tomorrow's officially, or today's Palentine's, tomorrow's Galentine's, and then Valentine's is actually on Sunday. But We've got Monica Berg coming up at the half. She is an expert in love. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. She's wonderful. Can't wait to talk with her. Our topic is Be Your Own Valentine. So can't wait to hear what she has to say. And of course, Maura Davies is with us today. It is Furbulous Friday, as I said. And Maura Davies is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA of Texas. That is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website is simply spca.org, or Instagram at SPCA Texas, or Facebook SPCA of Texas page. I know that's weird. You already explained it once though, Maura, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Facebook won't give us our page back. Boo.
Yeah. Well, you know, before we get started, I want to remind everyone that we are giving away a free spay and neuter to a cat or a dog. We've extended it till Monday. And simply just go to One Life Radio and follow the instructions. All you have to do is like the post, give us a follow, and tag a friend. And to get in the drawing to get a free spay or neuter for our Valentine's spay or neuter SPCA One Life Radio giveaway.
Yay, so, spay neuter. Woohoo.
Well, February is spay and neuter month, right? National official spay and neuter month. And it's important, right?
Yes, extremely. Oh my gosh, one of the most important things that we can all do, just given the ridiculously large amount of animals in this country. I can't exaggerate the importance enough. It is incredibly important. It's a safety thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a wallet thing. It's spay or neuter your pets.
And it's an environmental thing as well. Most people don't think about it in those terms. But I remember when I've been an animal advocate since I was a kid, truthfully, since I was probably could breathe and think on my own, at maybe age 5, you know, like, these animals need protecting. But there was something I was going to say and I completely, it evaporated in my mind.
Environmental.
Oh, environmental. Thank you so much, Maura. So, you know, I remember reading a statistic about, I don't know, it was probably 15 years ago, and it's changed a little bit, but I've said this before on the air that there were so many animals being euthanized in this country, just in America, that you could fill Giants Stadium to the top 2 times with all of the animals. That's how many get put into the earth. I won't get too descriptive here, but you know, we don't need that. We don't need all that extra waste going into, and not only that, all the suffering, you know, with the animals that's a part of that. That's the worst part, because I do think that death can be merciful, euthanasia, you know, but not suffering, first, which is typically how it happens, right?
Spay and neuter, it's so important. The suffering can happen in so many different ways too. It hurts my heart to talk about.
I know. And it's really cold out there. Again, a reminder, everyone, to bring your pets indoors if they are outdoors. Right now, my pets are only going outside for 5 to 10 minutes at most, and then I just switch them in and out. And then they, these are the times that I utilize my cages when I've got so many of them running around. I can't keep some of them outside because it's just too cold. Do that. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, make sure they've got the proper ID tag on, God forbid, but just in case they do get out, they can get back home safely, quickly. But, you know, we want to fix this this euthanasia problem, this overpopulation of animals. And that's what we're talking about today with the SPCA. Mm-hmm. It's Let's Fix This program that you guys initiated in South Dallas. So tell us how the Let's Fix This, that's a tongue twister, program came about. When did it come about?
Yes, actually, well, I guess the origins for this iteration of the program, Let's Fix This, started about 5 years ago. And it is, speaking of horrific things, it is so horrific. In Dallas, about 5 years ago, a woman whose name was Antoinette Brown died after being attacked by dogs in her neighborhood in the southern sector of Dallas. And there was, thank goodness, at least an immediate outcry. Amongst people across Dallas, across the area, saying this is not okay. People can't just get killed. I mean, even people who weren't even focusing on how the animals are suffering, Antoinette Brown's death really was a wake-up call, and it's just horrific. But the city of Dallas worked with the Boston Consulting Group on a study that actually looked into the total issue, how many loose dogs were they, what was happening, all of that. And they actually suggested a ton of different solutions for Dallas's loose dog and dog bite issue. And one of those solutions was to work with groups to spay neuter tens of thousands of dogs in the next few years. Mm-hmm. So that is just what happened, as I talk about 4 years after we started. Mm-hmm. The SPCA of Texas has worked with Spay Neuter Network and Dallas Animal Services. And that work was made possible by an amazing coalition of funders here locally and a largest of its kind program that is just going, it's going as strong as it can during COVID, but it is still going and has done tremendous work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I remember back in the early days of Pizza Patron driving up and down Jim Miller Road, where the first location was 5440 Jim Miller Road, by the way. And we used to find dogs every single night. There were so many animals on the street. It was just awful. It was like a nightmare to drive home. How many would you find? How many could you catch? How many could you rescue? And I don't find that so much anymore. Of course, I'm typically not on Jim Miller Road anymore, but all over the city where I drive, I don't see homeless pets like I used to. Not even anywhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is.
It's because of the spaying and neutering that's been done. Tremendous amount of spaying and neutering. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, so how many pets have you spayed and neutered since the program began?
The latest numbers I was looking at, and I was trying to see if I could find a more updated number, but well over 55,000.
Wow.
And really, I mean, that's just the last few years. So before the Let's Fix This program, there was a program called Big Fix for Big D that went on for many years. I was actually sitting here trying to remember, was it 5 years, 6 years, 7 years?
Oh,
something around that area.
Well, we've talked about that for many times on the air over the years. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And before that, the SPCA of Texas actually started one of the very first publicly available low-cost spay-neuter clinics in Dallas. It was the George Wattell Senior, I'm going back into the memory banks for this one, clinic. I believe they opened it in 1976 at our old shelter. It was attached to the Dealey Animal Care Center that we used to be at before we moved to our new beautiful Jane Rich Jones shelter. That shelter had been there for 40 years prior, and then the clinic was there, started by a really wonderful group of caring citizens, the SPCA of Texas, and a bunch of local veterinarians who knew this was needed. Mm-hmm. When I first started working at the SPCA of Texas back in 2001, we had vaccination clinics, we had spay-neuter clinics where lines would wrap around the building of people wanting to get their pets fixed. So if not for programs like this that go back, you know, we're talking 40-plus years. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified to think of the horrific situation we would have been in. But these last 4 years have been such a concentrated effort of just incredible work. I mean, it puts to shame a lot of the work that we've done before, even as a group of animal welfare folks and as a whole, because it's so targeted and there's just such a shift, I think, in a focus. Instead of necessarily going out and saying we need to educate people, really shifted to working
taking
with
action.
People, developing networks.
Yeah.
Taking action, but developing networks in the community, being there for people, meeting people where they are, and acknowledging that people love their pets. And rather than thinking of it as a like quote unquote education issue, it's an issue of trust and partnership and relationship. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I do. That's a great time to take a quick break, everyone. We'll be right back. More coming up with Maura Davies from the SPCA of Texas. You're listening to One Life Radio. It is Furbulous Friday. Stay tuned.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see.
You want to sing with me, Junior?
It's very, very, very.
I don't know if I know it well enough.
Extraordinary.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Happy
Valentine's, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We are here, Junior and I, with Maura Davies. She is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA of Texas. Just having a little fun singing. I don't know what that sounded like, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to have fun, right? Let it loose.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. So, Maura, our topic today is Let's Fix This, the program that you guys have, the SPCA of North Texas in South Dallas. So, you know, why weren't people in these areas spaying and neutering their pets before this program? What's the main problem, the main issue?
Sure. Well, honestly, like I was mentioning before the break, I think the biggest barrier was a lack of trust. You know, there's also a lack of knowledge and a huge lack of access to services. The southern sector has been for a long time a veritable desert for a lot of things, including affordable veterinary services. for the underserved community that is predominant in the southern sector, in many areas of the southern
mm-hmm,
sector.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though there had been that significant effort for many years that I mentioned earlier, and as, like I mentioned, we had shifted from that education toward partnership, the great thing is the relationships that our teams have formed with people in that area, those relationships have grown so much over the years and really developed into a wonderful network of people who help us spread the word of those services, like the spay-neuter services. And the Let's Fix This provides free spay-neuter vaccinations and microchips, like as a package, in 23 zip codes.
Oh, nice.
And there's a bunch of other stuff that the program does, but it was less about education regarding those misconceptions, but there still are those misconceptions, right? So
yeah.
A lot of people still say, it's gonna make my dog a different dog. Well, you know, there's some behaviors that spay neutering may limit, like roaming, and it does limit roaming, but like sometimes spay neutering your pet can reduce marking, and sometimes it might not. There are things that it definitely does that people don't even know about. Like, and we've talked about this many times too, spaying and neutering can help prevent certain types of cancer. Like if you don't have testicles, you can't get testicular cancer, things like that.
Mark that,
you
guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's ever going to catch on with humans, though. You know?
I don't think so. It's going to be really hard with humans.
Junior, do you think it'll catch on?
No, I highly doubt that.
You know, it's funny how, and I know this is a problem, and I know it firsthand from, I have had many conversations with men who somehow seem to make a connection between their dog's testicles and their own, and I don't understand it.
Yeah,
as a woman, I think I have a hard time understanding.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I thought it was funny, but it's true. I mean, I've encountered it many times before. Like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that to my dog. You know, like it was their own testicles or something. It's kind of funny, actually. But
no, I've actually never owned a male dog. All my dogs my whole life have always been female. So
female. And
I don't relate
them?
To that then. What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, Maura, how is the program implemented?
Well, in a lot of different ways, which was a really important feature of this whole program too. So the spay neuter, the vaccinations, the microchipping, and the 23 zip codes for the Free Fix program specifically. Not only does the SPCA of Texas have one spay neuter clinic, the Mary Spencer Spay Neuter and Wellness Clinic in the southern sector. Actually, we have two. There's our Myron K. Martin Spay Neuter and Wellness Clinic that's also in the area, although a little bit further north. So we have those brick and mortar locations, mm-hmm. but we also have the Kivo Mobile spay neuter and wellness clinic that goes out mobily. And then also we have other vehicles that can go door to door and literally transport pets from their owners' homes to our clinics for those who have transportation challenges.
So yeah.
There's a ton of different ways that we go about that work. It's really about that boots on the ground, you know, that our outreach mm-hmm. staff provides. These are some of Dallas's most underserved communities. And like I mentioned, we want to meet people where they are with respect and kindness and compassion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. With no judgment either, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's probably what you meant by when you said the word trust earlier, which kind of perplexed mm-hmm. me. It's like, and that's what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what has the feedback been from the residents in the area? Are they loving the program?
The feedback that we've had is very, very positive. So just we've had that overwhelming response to our team's work in the community. There are individuals on our team who have become very good friends with other folks in the community. You know, some of our team members live in the area, work, play. This is about community. This is about we are a community. We are here for each other, and just with all that, even during COVID, we were able to reach so many people. Mm-hmm. It truly is a testament to how we're able to go out and do things, some things safely. Now, there was a time when we paused those efforts to make sure everyone remained safe. We don't want to spread COVID, but we were still able to help. Our Pet Resource Center helped more than 1,600 pets in 2020, and that's not even on the spay neuter side. That is, some of those pets received food. Some of those pets received medical assistance for free. And we still, last year, spayed or neutered more than 5,100 dogs, and our outreach team reached more than 13,000 households, either virtually or sometimes in person, you know, outside socially distanced with masks on. And we also helped unchain 34 dogs so that we could help provide those dogs and their owners who love them very much, outdoor dog runs, dog houses, and more. So even when there's that cold weather, we're there saying, hey, guys, bring your pets in, bring your pets in. And people do. But there's also that warm dog house with straw. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's about maintaining those relationships and talking to people. And our team keeps in touch with everyone we work with. So it's a labor of love, and it's a labor of community. Kind of hate to say labor, because it's living and breathing for so many of our amazing outreach staff.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful program. I love the success that you've had with it. Can people, I was going to ask you who your big donors are that fund this, because funding makes the rocket go up. We all know that, but and I'm sure you get private donations too, but are there any big donors that you want to give a shout out to?
Oh my goodness, yes. I could not imagine this group of funders. And I mean, the Reese Jones Foundation is huge. The Dallas Foundation, I should have had it open for me.
Well, that's okay.
I can pull it up in 10 seconds and then say thank you to everybody.
Well, in the meantime, we
love the group of people, and it's really without their support, this could never have happened. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And people can donate specifically to the Let's Fix This program as well, to individuals.
They can. People can give to the SPCA of Texas, we will make sure that we are using those donations to fund all of our efforts, including all of our efforts to help spay, neuter, and vaccinate and microchip all of these wonderful animals. Okay, here it is. It's the Companion Animal Sweaters Coalition, Dallas Foundation, Meadows Foundation, PetSmart Charities, Reese Jones Foundation, George and Faye Young Foundation, Mike and Mary Terry Family Foundation, and the Summerlee Foundation. These are amazing folks. We love them dearly, and they're doing important work in this community, helping us make sure these animals are all cared for.
Yeah, that's wonderful. It is. And so I know that you, on this Valentine's Day show, we wanted to also remind listeners about the dangers of chocolate. Can we talk about that for just a moment? What do you want pet owners, what do they need to know?
Honestly, the quick version, chocolate is dangerous for pets. Do not feed it to them. There's a chemical called theobromine, which is a xanthine compound. It's toxic to dogs and cats in sufficient quantities. And the darker the chocolate is, the more dangerous it is, because there's more of that theobromine. Mm-hmm. So if your dog or cat eats chocolate and you see things like vomiting, increased urination, tremors, seizures, increased heart rate, irritability, restlessness, please contact your veterinarian immediately. This can all be signs of chocolate poisoning. Just don't do it, dogs. It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, and it can happen very quickly. I've brought this up several times in the last couple of years, but I have a friend, Don, her dog Lincoln, got into chocolate chips in the middle of summer that were up on the counter. He was a big standard poodle, jumped up, grabbed the bag of chocolate chips. She was only upstairs for a couple of minutes. When she came down, he had consumed the whole bag, and he was dead 24 hours later. But be careful, everyone. Keep the four paws. Our furry friends away from the chocolate, as tempting as it is. But Maura, always great to have you on the air. And thank you to the SPCA and all of its donors for doing such a fine job cleaning up the streets of Dallas and making it more humane.
Thank you so much for all of your support, Bernadette. Thanks to your listeners as well.
All right. Happy Galentine's Day.
We've
known each other. We've been Galentine's. We've been friends for what, 20 years now? It's hard to believe that much time has passed. 20 years. It's been 20 years. Crazy, but it's true.
Years. And how is that possible when we're only 26, 27 years old?
I know. All right. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on. Monica Berg is coming up. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. Be Your Own Valentine. That's our topic. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Yes, so crazy right now. Most incredibly, it's your girl, Bree. It's your boy, Young. You ready? Uh-oh, 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 uh-oh
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Valentine's Day, everyone out there listening in Radio Land. This is Bernadette and Junior. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have a very special guest back with us. Her name is Monica Berg, you guys, and she is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. She is the Chief Communications Officer of the Kabbalah Center International, a nonprofit organization located in Los Angeles, California, that provides courses on the Zohar and Kabbalistic teachings online, as well as through regional and city-based centers and study groups worldwide. Monica is a self-professed change junkie, sharing wisdom and real-life awareness to help others adjust to their own lifestyle changes and to even get excited about them. Her website is rethinklife.today. That's rethinklife.today. Monica, it's been far too long. How are you doing? So great to have you back.
I know. It's great to be with you today. I'm doing well.
Good, 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 good. Well, you know, I love this topic, be your own Valentine. This is very important for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, Valentine's Day can really bring up so many negative and positive feelings, mostly depending on our relationship status, right? So in your book, Rethink Love, you say that the most fundamental step in finding and keeping a healthy relationship is to have a healthy relationship with one's self first. So what do you mean by this for all of our listeners?
Well, I think that very often problems arise in a relationship, not because we're not aware of our partner's stories or their past, but because we're not aware of the stories in our own minds. We are all very good storytellers, whether we realize it or not, and often the stories we tell ourselves are false. And I know with absolute certainty that unless you have developed a strong relationship with yourself, it's going to be impossible to sustain a meaningful relationship with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So having a relationship with yourself first is about self-knowledge and honesty. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have conversations with people and they say, where do I start? And the truth is you have to start with really being able to give yourself honest feedback about where you find yourself in life and how you feel about that and how you feel about your choices, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be the first main thing. And you can't, you know, a lot of times people get into a relationship before they've ever really taken the time to cultivate love, respect themselves, and then they expect somebody else to fulfill all this for them. It's really mm-hmm. impossible, and it sets up a standard for failure.
Absolutely, I agree. I couldn't agree more. But, you know, most of us would never talk to others the way we talk to ourselves or be so critical of ourselves. Why are we so critical of ourselves sometimes?
Yeah, right. I mean, women especially do this. I don't think men do as much. I think it starts with this unrealistic expectation we have upon ourselves. And in truth, women especially are brought up to be nurturing and be caretakers of others. And at some point, girls get the message from media, from each other, or from even their own parents that they need to succeed in every way, academically, professionally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And to top it off, we're expected to do it all in perfect balance and complete mm-hmm. control. Mm-hmm. Which is impossible. I really suffered from that growing up, and it took me years and years of this work that we're talking about to really shift that and learn that I don't need to be perfect. I can understand that I might have an ideal about myself of who I want to become, but I'll never be able to manifest that or realize that if I'm constantly judging myself, criticizing myself, if I feel insecure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we have to first accept that these expectations are not something we need to hold. Even if others expect that from us, we can change that and we can give them a new set of lists or create our own. And from that space, really come to be kind to yourself, right? And say, mm-hmm. ask yourself the questions, like, what do I want to do? Where do I want to put time and effort and energy? And the list might be very long, but the expectation you have is that it's going to be messy, right? That's how we should really look at it, that we're all in the middle of a process in life's journey. And a successful life is actually a messy life. It's one where you set up your goals
with understanding that there will be failures along the way. Create an imperfect plan, which is the opposite, I think, of what most people say.
Yeah, I agree. I've had a messy life.
And by the way, that's, I'm sure if you ask yourself, in the messy times, is that where you learned the most about yourself, right? Oh. Is that the biggest opportunity you had for growth and change?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Junior, I'm going to pull you into this. If you had, what do you want to say about all this? And do you think that, women suffer more from this than men?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never really thought about it, but from what she was saying, it sounds like it. I mean, but I don't know. I'm not.
You know, I think that women feel a need more so than men do to be validated. Would you agree with that, Monica?
Yes, it's interesting. And I think that is what gets us in trouble in relationships also. We look for external validation. You know, I can give you an example that if, for instance, a woman felt insecure, she wasn't proud of how she looked or her body or whatever, and she met somebody who said, you know, I love you. I love all these things about you. And then let's say they break up later, then she goes back to feeling the feelings she had before. So I think that we, again, look externally, you know, do you approve of me? Do you like me? Instead of maybe looking for feedback, you know, there's a big difference between validation and feedback. Validation is make me okay. And feedback is help make me better. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely, it's a subtle shift, but it's a huge one.
Yeah. And I think daughters, I know from just, you know, friends I've known and just even maybe myself a little bit, I looked for a lot of validation from my father.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, even if you look at how children play, the way boys and girls play differently, right? Girls get very into the details and the emotions and how so-and-so felt when they're playing, where boys are much more, I think, goal-oriented in the moment, right? If you're playing fire truck, it's about getting the fire truck from A to Z, where the girl will create a narrative of, you know, so-and-so got hurt along the way. We have to stop at the hospital, right? It's just a different way that we approach life. And therefore, because we are naturally more expressive, I think, it does set us up for understanding, oh, you expect this from me? Okay, I'm going to provide that. And I think boys, by the way, and men are very emotional. I just think that the society that we're raised in, women seem like they are more just because they express it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are such a money-oriented society, and our value is kind of based on what we have, unfortunately. But if true happiness is found internally, why are we so materialistic?
Well, I really like this question, actually, because I think most people don't really want to think of themselves that way. Mm-hmm. But in reality, we are kind of ruled by that. And there's a Kabbalistic principle that says we live in two realities. One is the 1% world, which is the material world. It's the illusion of our five senses. It's everything we see, hear, smell, taste, touch. And often we use that when we're looking for relationships. And then there's the 99% realm, which is everything that's intangible. It includes, you know, joy, empathy, happiness, fulfillment. It's also the things that we can't really see, like small atomic particles that we rely on, right? The internet, Wi-Fi signals. We can't see them, smell them, or touch them, but we know they exist. Mm-hmm. So when you put so much, but and by the way, we put much more emphasis and energy in the 1%, right?
Yeah.
So if you're taking this to relationships, you know, how does that person make me feel? What have they provided for me? What kind of life will we have together? How great is the attraction? And while, of course, those things are necessary and to some extent important, when you make that the priority, that's when you set yourself up for unrealistic expectations, right? You get disappointed later because the truth is money gets spent and looks fade and there needs to be much more going on than just that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Very well put, I might add. And for those of you out there listening, you are listening to Monica Berg. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. We're going to go for a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
No New Year's Day to celebrate. No chocolate covered candy hearts to give away. No first of spring. No song to sing. In fact, here's just thank you.
flowers bloom. No wedding Saturday within the month of June. But what it is something true, made up of these three words that I must say to you. I just call to say I love you. I just call to say how much I care. I just call to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are here with Monica Berg. She is the author of Rethink Love and Fear is Not an Option. And I want to say Rethink Love, three steps to being the one, attracting the one, and becoming one. I love having you on the show. And everyone out there listening, Monica is the Chief Communications Officer of the Kabbalah Center International, a nonprofit organization located in Los Angeles, California, that provides courses on the Zohar and the Kabbalistic teachings online, as well as through regional and city-based centers and study groups worldwide. Monica is a self-professed change junkie, sharing wisdom and real-life awareness to help others adjust to their own lifestyle changes and to even get excited about them. Her website is rethinklife.today. That's Rethink Life Today. Always an honor and pleasure to have her with us. And so we're talking about being your own Valentine. And so, you know, I want to get to all these questions. So let me ask you this first. How do we know if we're not in tune with our inner self, Monica?
Well, unhappiness is a key indicator. Waking up without enthusiasm or boredom. One of the foundations of well-being is listening to and honoring your inner voice and being open to what you hear. And we all know that voice, right? Sometimes it's empowering and creative. Sometimes it's motivating. Other times it could be fearful, especially in this time that we're in, angry, frustrated, demotivating, and sometimes downright spiteful. So I'd say pay attention to what the voice is saying, mm-hmm. especially when the message is negative. If you become aware of your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings, then you will know and be able to identify when you're out of balance. Mm-hmm. And that feels like having a lack of clarity, feeling stuck, maybe comparing yourself to other people around you, or feeling like you're unlucky, which usually then leads to self-sabotaging behavior.
Oh, yeah.
So all of those are big indications. And by the way, our emotions are set up to show us what we need to change. So you need that feedback. Mm-hmm. You just don't have to stay in it.
Yeah. Well, what's the difference between being self-centered and being centered on self?
Well, I love this question, too, because I do talk about this a lot, and then people kind of misunderstand it. Well, what do you mean? What I have found in my own journey is that being centered in yourself is the foundation of being strong. So the more I am in touch with what's inside of me, the more I can do for others. Meaning if I'm compassionate and understanding with regard to my own body, my thoughts, my emotions, then I can be compassionate towards other people. Mm-hmm. So it's not an easy shift to create, but it starts with, and by the way, so to become self-centered doesn't mean that you are busy with yourself all day. Rather, it means you're centered on yourself, right? Like how you spend your time, your thoughts, how curious you are about yourself, your growth, your passions, your desires. It's really being interested in yourself. And mm-hmm. from that space, then you can create anything. It's not about scheduling, you know, a spa appointment, a massage. All of that is great. But it's really about taking a step back and really asking yourself important questions and then acting on them.
I'm loving this conversation. Again, we are here with Monica Berg, her book, Rethink Love, Three Steps to Being the One, Attracting the One, and Becoming the One. And so, you know, many times our true desires get put aside for the desires of our partner. And I think especially women are guilty of this. But how do we decipher what we want for ourselves if we're putting the wants and needs of others first?
Well, I think a lot of people struggled with this, especially in the past year. You know, everybody working from home and kids at home. And I took a page out of the FAA safety guidelines, and I secured my own oxygen mask first. So what you want to do is really start this process of introspection. And again, being emotionally intelligent, knowing what it is that you want, having the courage to at least ask for it. A lot of people have shame in wanting. They're afraid to even admit the things that they want for themselves, and then they go around providing it just for everybody else. So I think the first thing is to really make sure you check in with yourself every day, and you ask yourself real questions. Am I spending my time and energy in things that I believe in, that are important to me, that provide happiness for me? Because you have to be able to give that to yourself first, and then from that space, you will be the best mother, the best friend, the best partner, because you've first given that to yourself. Very often people try to take care of everybody else around them first, and then they say, okay, then I'll get to my needs. And they somehow confuse that with being sharing or being a giving person. But I actually think that you need to, and it's not selfish, you really need to be able to provide that for yourself in the most honest and authentic way, and then be able to give to everybody else. And you will. You'll do it much more successfully and effectively.
I agree again. How do you know when you're ready to meet someone? Do you, and do you believe that there's really the one for everyone?
Well, I think that you're ready. I mean, look, things happen, and you could meet somebody in it, and you might not even recognize them depending on where you are in your consciousness, right? I know many people who they met 20 years before, but they didn't recognize each other as the love of their lives until they went through a whole process and a journey, and then they were able to appreciate that person. So I think the first step is really whoever it is that you want to attract in life, work on becoming that version of yourself first. Right. So if you want somebody who's kind and thoughtful and compassionate and healthy and energetic, then make sure that you're becoming that first. And then from that space, you'll be able to attract that same kind of energy. I think it's far too often we ignore the parts of ourselves. We just don't like this. And we really have this cherished illusion that when we meet somebody, they're going to love us enough for both of us. And we think that, you know, with the cherished illusion, some people have a cherished illusion that when they get married, they'll have, you know, a home with a white picket fence, and then they'll be happy, or they'll have a home in Beverly Hills, or whatever your cherished illusion is. And then eventually that gets shattered over time when the euphoric feelings of a budding relationship wears off, and then you're stuck with these pieces that are broken. So I think that it's really important to, again, first do all of that internal work of really becoming who it is that you ultimately want to attract.
Yeah, great advice. And we've got about almost 2 minutes, about a minute and a half, something like that. But I'll ask you this, and this is a great way, I think, to end this Valentine show. What's the first step that we can take this Valentine's weekend, Monica, to start understanding and loving ourselves?
Well, first of all, you know, Valentine's Day is really just another day, if we're being honest, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's so much pressure that, oh my God, and we have, by the way, I think people who are single, they're probably imagining other people that are coupled, that they're having the most romantic day, and it's so beautiful, and we really don't even know if that's true, by the way.
Right.
So whether it's this Sunday or any Sunday or every single day of your life, make yourself a priority. If you feel like being spoiled and you wish you had somebody to do that for you or give you a gift, give it to yourself. I mean, I don't think we need to assign that to somebody else, our happiness, our joy, our fulfillment. You are so incredibly powerful. And if you want to attract the one, then be that one for yourself. You are the one. This healthy relationship that you're looking for really starts with introspection and identifying your beliefs. You know, what are your false beliefs about relationships? Create a list. I would do that. I'd wake up Sunday morning, I'd create a list of all the things that I believe about relationships, good and bad, and then I would cross off the negative and really create new belief systems and start to attract that love into your life.
Absolutely. Monica Berg, Rethink Love, fantastic book, everyone. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much, Monica. Good to talk with you again, and you have a wonderful weekend. All right.
Thanks
everyone.
So much.
Oh, you're welcome. She's such a joy, you guys. The book is fabulous. Check it out. Rethink Love, 3 Steps to Being the One, Attracting the One, and Becoming the One. And remember this, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there this weekend and have some fun.